Hi, this is Eddie from Big Ed's Barbecue in Waukegan, Illinois, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network, sucker.
You've just jumped inside the pull bag. Join TFG1 Mike and the rest of the comic crew here at the GCRN as they make their great escape into comics. From DC, Marvel, and Image to IDW, Boom Studios, and Zenoscope, we have everything right here. We cover things like Transformers, He-Man, superheroes, TMNT, and Radiant Black. Yeah, we have all that and so much more. It's all inside the pull bag here on the Geekcast Radio Network. So, without further ado, it's time to talk about the comics we're reading right now, here inside the pull bag.
Martini.
Start.
I'll shake in.
Start.
What's your opinion? I'll take a Negroni. Just poured.
Sorry?
On the play, it's that old cliche, does art actually imitate life? Because you got this tyrant who's walking the stage.
Basha.
And in the first act, his cruelty goes completely unpunished. But in the fifth, justice. Always justice.
You see a tyrant. I see a man bringing order to a disordered world. Scouring its filth, polishing it till it shines. In art, our most fervent hopes come true. Heroes always win. It's bullshit. In life, totally different.
Nah, I'm with Shakespeare. Hmm? Act 5's coming.
To Shakespeare?
Hmm. To Bill.
I think you both just spoiled the end.
No. We didn't.
Hello and welcome to The Pull Bag. This is episode 549. And holy crap, folks, we are going to get the Immortal Bard going today because
it is my destiny to become a great Shakespearean actor. And so, farewell to low comedy.
Adam Ray has returned. How are you?
I'm doing very well, Mike. Glad to be back here on the pullback talking about one of the most unique comic reading experiences I've had in a very long time. I know that when I came on for my Comics Origins, I mentioned this to you and you were like, what? So it's great to finally talk about it.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell? I knew nothing about this. And I thought this was a hell of a lot longer than what it is. Oh my
God. Oh, yeah.
I'm thinking, okay, Shakespeare, 5 acts, basically one story per comic. And you said you got the volume 7 trade of Deadpool World's Greatest Detective for your birthday or for Christmas or something. Yep. And I was like, oh, okay, so I guess I'll go out and get the trade too. I read the whole damn trade and I'm like, I am so lost. What the hell is going on? Get to the end of, like, I forget what page it is in the trade. I think it's like page 100.
Pretty much halfway through.
Yeah, like 51 out of 113 pages. And I'm like, it's just one star.
Yeah, because the rest of the second half of the trade is the rest of the continuity with a bunch of context clues that are not given, and I'm like very confused. This is my thing about a lot of Marvel's trades is that like they don't number them very clearly, and you need to like collect all of them to sort of like get the continuation of the run. But they're so bad with their reprints, they just reprint the good stuff. If that, so it's so hard to get a whole set, which is a stang shame.
Yeah, and like I said, if I had known, I did know, I guess, like I said, I got it mixed up. I get a lot of things mixed up, folks. And if I had known, I would have just bought the single issue and not the damn trade, because now I have Deadpool Volume 7 without Deadpool Volumes 1 through 6, and I'm like, my continuity brain is like, that doesn't work. That's not, no. But anyway, we are here to talk about Much Ado About Deadpool.
Oh, man. Yeah, so Shakespeare, I'm certain, is like a huge deal in terms of like literary heritage out stateside, but it's everything if you grew up in the English education system. Mm-hmm. You are taught about it from as early as you can read, and most of the kids my age, or the kids back when I was learning, could not follow the English and did not care about the stories. But as a literary buff and someone who studied literature their entire life, there was an understanding of, yes, I can really resonate with these stories. So seeing it put on its head to sort of see like literary heritage and something we take super, super seriously put in the same conversation as Deadpool, the kind of guy who will turn straight to camera and be like, oh, cool. You actually do learn something in school. Just to really make fun of that. Mm-hmm. It's so fun. So welcome. So yeah. Strange.
And I mentioned to you, and I don't know if you had a chance to check it out, but I had mentioned to you the Looney Tunes Goofy Gophers short, A Ham in a Roll.
I watched it while you were setting up.
So, outside of that,
I shall not allow gophers to impede my progress. Hamlet, Scene 1, Act 3. To be or not to be, that is the question. To die, to sleep, to gophers.
And no, A Knight's Tale was Chaucer. It wasn't Shakespeare. But anyway, that's as close. Like, did I do Macbeth and all that stuff in elementary school back in the 80s? Yeah, sure, fine. I didn't understand a damn word of it, and I'll give good old William Shakespeare this. At least it's not his 11-1st birthday. Shut up, Tolkien. Ooh. Oh, my God.
Yeah, Shakespeare tried to keep things down the middle, but was still able to make his magic a little bit more out there and a little bit more believable. Like, he's just like, okay, fairies exist in Midsummer Night's Dream. Vibes, mm-hmm. Cool, we dig it. There are witches in Macbeth. All right, cool, sure, we dig it. Prospero is a powerful wizard in his last story. Yeah, cool, we dig it. I think the way I heard someone I follow a lot of the content of on the internet sort of sum up Tolkien's magic is just like, yeah, so one elf made something really dope 10,000 years ago. Things were great back then. Anyway, hobbits.
I know, right? The audience has heard this story before, I think. I'm pretty sure they have, but ladies and gentlemen, it was, oh my God, it was 30 years ago. Oh God, I was 14 at the time. I am so old, God damn it. 1994, my dad has been a mechanic his entire life. He just celebrated his 68th birthday. He just retired like the end of last year. The man is from the generation of work from 3 a.m. to 9 p.m., sleep however many hours between 9 and the next 3 a.m. is, and then get up and do it all over again. I had a conversation with him a couple weeks ago when he came by, and I said, you know, I may not be able to do the job you've done for your entire life, but, you know, thank you for instilling in me the work ethic that you have, because 549 episodes, folks, in 11 years does not happen overnight unless I'm sitting here, you know, putting my blood, sweat, and tears into editing and publishing and blah, blah, blah. And I can't thank Steve Megatron enough, my best friend of 15, 16 years, for all the website stuff at geekcastradio.com and everything else. But I had said, you know, it's just one of those things where I'm thinking to myself, oh God, I was 14, 30 years ago. And so anyway, he had worked for a bunch of motor coach companies. They're kind of like your double-decker buses, similar to that.
Huge bus coach deals.
Yeah, yeah. Not the school buses, the other ones.
The huge ones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like Greyhound buses.
Mm-hmm, yep, there you go. And he would always bring home whatever people, like, these are buses that were in Louisville, Kentucky at the time. They would always have trips for the, at the time, in the 90s, the old people bingo trips, where they would go down to Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and gamble and do all this. So people would leave stuff on the bus all the time. People would leave whatever it was. And if it was, you know, something that he thought I would like or something, whatever, most of it was books. And one of the books he brought home, Fellowship of the Ring by J.R.R. Tolkien. At 14, I was reading, I had, at 94, when did The Client come out? So in 94, The Firm with Tom Cruise had just came out, which is obviously based on the John Grisham novel. By that time, I was reading that kind of stuff. I was reading R.L. Stein. I was reading, you know, all that. But as I grew up in the 80s, it was Berenstain Bears and the Hardy Boys. So I was a pretty, you know, I was reading everything I could, no matter what it was. And I'm like, okay, Fellowship of the Ring, I'll give this a chance. It seems sort of kind of like King Arthur, which honestly I prefer over whatever these one rings may rule the world, whatever. And I'm sitting there reading it at 14 years old, and I'm like, my brain is just stuck on his 111st birthday. Means he's 111 years old. I put the book down, and I never, ever went back to it, and I never will. I have no interest. It just turned 30 years ago. It turned me off. I've never seen the movies. If I want to waste my time for 3.5 hours for one film, I'll watch The Batman or something. Like, nope, not even.
I mean, like, it's informed a lot of other stories since, mm-hmm. and I'll always have a lot of fondness for it. But yeah, it's dense and it's not necessarily for everybody. If you're able to, like, find the grace and find the courage, I do still recommend it, but you want to start on the lighter stuff. Maybe do Hobbit first, because the Hobbit movies are not great. But yeah, like, I think we can all agree that, like, they've all influenced stuff in their own way, but we can find our interests about it, which is why there's so many great stories out there to be told, and that's why shows like this bring them to our attention, especially when you get literary heritage, huge old stories that have defined what can be written in English into Ryan Reynolds' final form.
Yeah, exactly.
That's exactly what we've got handled right here, right?
Right, exactly. And the thing is, folks, I don't dislike Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit or whatever. It's just not my thing. I'm not going to sit here and bash something I've never seen or read or whatever. But I'm the type of person that, if you give me a choice between two things, okay, and usually for me, back when I was younger, and I would still do this today if I actually went outside of my apartment and went to stores and stuff like that. But if I go into a bookstore and I say, hey, I just moved to town, can you give me some recommendations, blah, 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 this is what I like. So this happened back in December of 2000, I think. I was in Biloxi, Mississippi, of all places. And again, I've told this story before. This is more for you than for anybody else. Went into the local Books a Million. This lovely older lady named Angie, never forget her. I told her what I liked. Told her what I liked to read. I told her what, you know, what I had been reading for the last 5, 6, 7 years. She goes, oh, okay. Well, I'll give you two choices. You can either read all these novels about a former lingerie buyer turned bounty hunter, or you can read all these novels about a boy wizard. Can you guess which one I picked?
Well, given what happened to the people in the community about the boy wizard, I sure hope that lingerie was tasteful. Let's go with that.
Yes, it was. And the bounty hunting was pretty good too.
That sounds like such a random premise. That reminds me of, like, one manga I saw. I never read it, but I saw it on the shelves back when I worked in a really big comic book store. it was one that was like Nerdy Assassin, I think it was like the rough translation of the title, where it was like this assassin who was like world renowned, like high end contract killer, like your Deathstroke types. But he would always get in trouble with the rest of the people in his like Rogues Operatives Guild, because whenever he would get home, he would always just down all of his cash on like really detailed statues and like tabletop games, and like his comic book collection's always mint, and they're just like, why are you into this stuff? And it's just like, I just am. Oh, you need me to kill this guy? Cool, that'll help pay for this really, really collectible.
I didn't know your dad had a alternate identity.
Oh, he's passing on the family business.
That's right.
he's multitasking. He's diversifying.
There you go. All right, folks. Shakespeare, Deadpool Shakespeare. Credits, just to get this out of the way, Mr. Ian Dosher? I got that kind of right.
I'm familiar with Ian's work, sorry to cut you. I'll let you go through the credits and I'll talk about that one.
Mr. Bruno Oliveira, Mr. Nick Filardi, I love Nick, and Mr. Joe Sabino is the letterer.
Yeah, it's a good team, because Ian Dosher, he's quite an accredited Shakespeare scholar, but he's also like a huge comic book nut. Not only did he write this with the understanding of Shakespeare, he also wrote Shakespeare Does Star Wars, which is like whole text scripts rewriting the story of Star Wars, but in Shakespeare style verse.
Why is it every time you come on here, you say something to me and I'm like, okay, now I need to go find that.
No, it's true.
Adam will be back in a couple of months, folks.
We'll see you then, guys. That one's not even a comic. That one's script that people can put up as a play. It's not even a comic.
Damn, I thought it was a comic. That would be funny.
Yeah, well, we'll probably find another podcast that we can both invade to talk about that one.
But yeah, this is interesting.
It was an experience, yeah. It's a trip. So I think it's never explained in the story of Deadpool Does Shakespeare, but somehow he wakes up in an alternate world where it's like a movie mashup of some of Shakespeare's greatest moments, and you can tell that it's going completely off the rails, because right there, I'm pretty sure it's on the first page, or at the very least the first two pages, he wakes up. By the end of page 4, he wakes up, he saves Shakespeare, he borrows a crossbow, he kills Shakespeare, because why not?
Yeah, poor old Bill.
Oh, but Bill had a long life to lead, and he told many a great story. But he's just there trying to deal with being just like zapped off to a whole other world, and then meets the ghost of the fallen king that we see in the beginning of Hamlet, and is set on the same quest that Hamlet's on. But Deadpool's okay with killing people, so he doesn't have the moral dilemma that Hamlet does.
Yeah, no. Yeah, I gotta say, Deadpool finally made me really, really enjoy Shakespeare, because this was hilarious.
Oh, no, yeah. I think that was the point. I think they knew what they were going for. They wanted to, take something that people don't really interact with a lot and make it super lowbrow and super strange. Mm-hmm. You can trust Deadpool to be, to turn anything into, a really wacky mirror version of itself. Because back in that comic book store that I used to work at, we were around the first times when the Deadpool manga came out, the one that was officially licensed by Marvel. I opened it up because, when you work there, you treat the place like a library. I opened it up, looked at the first page, and was like, you know what? I'm satisfied. Because it starts with him, sort of in the Deadpool movies, where he gets out of Dopinder's taxi and says, oh, don't worry about charging me, just make it out to Kodansha. Kodansha is a huge publisher of manga, but not the publisher that ran the Deadpool manga. So that'd be like Deadpool being like in the middle of it, being like, "Oh yeah, you can build Image, or build Dark Horse." And I was like, "You know what? I'm satisfied. I don't need to read any of the rest. That's all good. I would like to pick it up, but still, they know there's something weirdly magic about Deadpool as a character that is he's so incredibly freeing that you can take him and be like, you know what? The ability to look between worlds and just say weird fourth wall stuff like Ambush Bug in DC, you can just go nuts with how irreverent the humor can be.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how well him in his costume blends into this world, because You'd think that a guy in a giant red suit would stick out like a sore thumb. I mean, I know Shakespeare is kind of out there with the outfits and everything else, but like still, this works a lot.
It's because of the whatever weird magical mishap that sent him out into this world, but everything works really well. Because like, instead of just the regular red jumpsuit, they just make the it a little bit more flowery, put in a big collar, but still like the mask is the same. The belt is like full of grenades and clips for his guns. He's got his sword still, so he still looks the part, but still is very recognizably him. So he fits into the world as unlikely and strange as that would be.
What is your favorite Shakespeare play in general?
That is a tough one, because I like the edgy stuff that he did towards the end of his career when he was very visibly depressed. So like the stuff like Macbeth and King Lear, where it's just the story of this one dude in this huge position of power that just slowly gets more crazy and depressed. And both of those characters are shown off pretty well here. Like in the story of Macbeth, he like is forced into like going into this position of power and like taking over the throne of Scotland, and then everyone justifiably hates him for it. The briefest summary I can give. And then in King Lear, he's an aging retired king who wants to divide his kingdom among his three daughters, but the one he loves best rejects it. So he turns to his other two daughters, which again, there's an amazing joke about their names in this story. Like he says, their names were Goneril and Regan, but Goneril, didn't I catch that in the 90s? Regan, didn't I? Wasn't he president?
Yeah.
So good. But those stories are like very sobering and very like thoughtful, and they give you lots of like big grandiose themes. Those are the kinds of plays that people think of when they think of like Shakespeare and like block caps. Those are the ones that like give you a lot of things to sort of think about. So taking those big serious moments and flipping them on his head, of like Lady Macbeth being like this like weird seductress that like talks him into this point of power, and King Lear being this like, despite being old, he's spry and a dangerous threat. It's a way it still feels very true, but it's still super out there when you think about it compared to what the original stuff was.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know Mr. Reynolds himself really does like Shakespeare, because so it's not just the Deadpool thing. Because have you ever seen Six Underground?
I heard of it, not seen it.
All right, you should check it out. I don't know if you'd like it or not, but it's basically your typical Michael Bay explosion spy thriller thing. But in that, he mentions Shakespeare several times, where it's like he actually mentions, hey, they actually go to a play, and he mentions to the villain of the piece, like, you know, this is act one, just wait for act five. And by the end of the movie, he's like,
welcome to act five.
So yeah, it's one of the few Michael Bay action movies that doesn't always, I mean, it has the explosions like it always does, but it doesn't like super rely on them. So it's pretty decent self, whatever movie. It's a single movie. It's not like it's a whole new franchise, thank God, but it is what it is. But
people give Michael Bay a lot of flack. People give Michael Bay because, like, not a lot of people know this, but at the very least, Armageddon, but I think Con Air as well. Both of those are in the Criterion Collection. Both of those are like regarded as like high art movies that we would give to the aliens to show them our culture. And like Ryan Reynolds, despite being like Deadpool and Van Wilder, he was a classically trained actor, so he knows his he knows his stuff. So that makes a lot of sense to me. But then again, their reputations as being the guy who's most likely to get off to an explosion and the guy who is remembered for like putting weird stuff in his chocolate eclairs at Van Wilder. Those reputations always stick with him.
Yeah. Before the audience comes after us, folks, Con Air was not a Michael Bay movie. It was directed by Simon West.
Oh,
but yeah.
Oh no, I'm thinking of Nick Cage. What am I thinking of? Nick Cage? Oh,
yeah.
Cause he directed The Rock.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah,
that's what it is. Yes, Michael Bay did. Yeah, good old God, could you imagine? Is there a Nick Cage, Ryan Reynolds joint? I don't know if there is or not. Anyway,
I don't think we could take it because, like, I don't think the world is ready. Because hypothetically, that could very well happen if Ghost Rider meets Deadpool on screen.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah,
that would be amazing.
Because they've met many times in the comics. Because Ghost Rider's like, "Why aren't you dead?" And Deadpool's like, "I don't know. Do you want some pancakes?"
Yeah, exactly. It's hilarious.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, no, this was hilariously fun. I really enjoyed this. And it had been a while since I had even, like, you know, the, you know,
alas, poor Yorick. I knew him well.
You know, whatever, you know, it's like,
oh, yeah.
You know all the classic lines of Shakespeare, but you don't really, most people probably, unless you're deep into it, you're not rereading Shakespeare all the time. And I hadn't read Shakespeare stuff in a long time, and reading this is so fun, and Deadpool makes it so much better. And the fact that he's just trapped in this, and he plays the parts well.
Yes, but he does.
You can tell underneath it all, he's so annoyed that he's here. He loves it, but he's still annoyed.
He loves it because he loves the chaos, and he loves, like, yeah, being the center of attention and, like, having weird encounters with Juliet and Lady Macbeth and the Merry Wives of Windsor. But yeah, this is not his world, and you can tell it's not his world because he gets his head chopped off by King Lear, and he's just, like, doing the alas, poor Yorick to his own head.
Yeah.
And he's okay with it, and just doing his little breaks of just like, yes, that's an actual quote from Shakespeare. It's from Act 5, Scene 3. Or like, look, you can actually learn stuff in school, kids. It's not dumb. Just really driving the point home of just like, I am here and I am outside of my world, but because I'm Deadpool, I don't have to care that I'm outside my world. This is just something I'm going to handle, because being the main character in a comic where you're aware that you're the main character in the comic means you can do really weird stuff sometimes.
Yeah. And this is, like I said, just, wow. This is something to behold, folks. This is, yeah.
No, they handle it so well. It's so strange and so irreverent. But it still has, like, its own story that runs its way through. It sort of loosely follows Hamlet with, like, the ghost dad puts him up to killing the king. But it's a different king this time, obviously. But he still runs into characters like Prospero, who explains, hey, this is Shakespeare. You are in another world. I'm a wizard. I know what I'm talking about. Read this stuff. And he actually goes and sits down and reads this stuff. Yep. He has weird little encounters with various ladies, and, you know, good for him.
Yeah.
Until eventually there's like a huge battle where everyone just like messes with everybody. And then we never know how it gets sorted, but we don't have to care. It's Deadpool in an alternate world. It happens.
Yep. And the sad thing is, I mean, we've known about Deadpool for years. Deadpool's been a character for decades. But honestly, without Ryan, I probably wouldn't care about this as much as I do, because I now need to hear him read this entire issue.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
I see so I'm in Act 5. Friends, rivals, comic freaks, lend me your ears. I'm like, oh my God. Can you imagine if he said that?
I like the last page right before Act 4 starts, where it's like the double page spread of him holding his own head. It's like, alas, poor Deadpool, thou art fubar'd quite. Just like,
yes.
Him doing that with like some real good CG of him actually holding his own head.
Yep.
It's give the people what they want. Come on, Ryan. You know what's up.
Yeah. Come on, Ryan. Yep.
Because like this could be like a very easily just like a short like student movie, like 40 minutes, like the Christmas Deadpool special.
Yeah.
Not hard. Never heard of the. Absolutely. Wait. Whoa. Rewind. You've never seen, like, I haven't seen it, but I know that it's a thing that exists. The Deadpool Christmas special with Ryan Reynolds reading in the style of Princess Bride to the kid from Princess Bride, but he's like our age now.
Yeah, Once Upon a Deadpool. Yeah.
Yeah, do a production like that of bringing this to life. Give the people what they want.
Yes, exactly. But it's funny you say that because, and I know, folks, everybody's going to run screaming and turn their things off from what I'm about to say, but Well, it, look, it's almost been 30 years. So, you know what? 1996, and they had their first album, The State, in 98. They got super famous in 2001 with Silver Side Up. It's Nickelback, folks.
Yep.
It's
honestly,
Nickelback,
I really
folks.
Like this band. I really like that band.
I think we talked about this last time. And he likes them. He is like that. You bringing up Once Upon a Deadpool. As soon as I saw the clip of him and Fred Savage doing Princess Bride, and in the middle of it, all, you know, the whole Nickelback. I have that clip. I will probably put that clip somewhere in around here.
Once Upon a Deadpool.
Kind of prefer Marvel movies.
We are Marvel.
Yeah, but, you know, you're Marvel licensed by Fox. It's like if the Beatles were produced by Nickelback. It's music, but it sucks.
Hey, that's it. I'm done. I've had it with all this Nickelback hating, right? You think that makes you cool with the cool kids in school, Fred?
No, it just makes me right.
It doesn't.
They're overproduced, formulaic, ear garbage.
Oh, really? You know who might disagree with that? Facts. 50 million albums worldwide. 11th best-selling musical act of all time. Billboard's most successful rock group of the last decade. 6 Grammy nominations. 12 Juno Awards. Those count. 6 Billboard Music Awards. 2 American Music Awards. 1 People's Choice Award. Canadian. And a partridge in a pear tree.
Sorry. I thought we were just having fun. I didn't realize it was
You know, you were, You gotta say, you were nicer as a kid.
Tired of living like a blind man. Sick inside of a sense of feeling. This is how you remind me. This is how you remind me of what I really am. This is how you remind me of what I really am.
Because, oh my God, I absolutely love that, and you are absolutely correct. That is so good. And ladies and gentlemen, over on, I think, are we doing it over on Sphere 2009? Yeah, my buddy Steve Megatron and I, we're finally going to watch, or I am finally going to watch, he's seen them. I've had a chance to, but I just haven't had the time to, and now with the third movie coming out, I'm like, okay, fine, I'll sit down. So we are finally going to cover Deadpool 1 and 2 over there. But yeah, alas, poor Deadpool, you aren't foobarred quite. The only time I've seen anybody use foobar is Tango and Cash. And what does foobar stand for, folks? Fucked up beyond all recognition.
He's allowed to get away with that sort of stuff because...
That's right.
He's probably seen Tango and Cash, or at some other timeline, he walked in to like help them out on a case.
That would be funny. That would be really funny. Yeah, we're not spoiling all this, folks, but you can kind of get it. There really are no spoilers here because the main line just says it all. It's Deadpool and Shakespeare. That's all you need to know. And by the end, he's like. Good. But.
they know what they're going for. They know how to keep it light and irreverent. Mm-hmm. They know how to take something that people take super, super seriously and then shrink it and bring it down to Deadpool's level.
Yep.
That's the story of it. But for those who appreciate Shakespeare, there's a lot of very careful nods of appreciation, very well handled moments straight from the original texts and from the plays themselves. It's a loving tribute that also shoots Shakespeare in the chest on the fourth page. But, you know, it happens.
Yeah, it happens. And, of course, it wouldn't be Deadpool without the ending.
Oh, so true. So true.
It'll be Deadpool without the ending. If this is living in a book, back on my world, I never shall look. Forsooth, why should it cause me strife to live mine... Oh, God, I can't.
Anti-hero's life.
Anti-hero's life. Okay, yeah. My words sprung from an author's mind, page margins as my sole frontiers. I've done so more than 20 years, from comic book to Shakespeare play. I am thy Deadpool, here I'll stay. And it's him with the three ladies, and yep, that's Deadpool. Hey,
that's Deadpool.
Happy ending, you know.
Quite literally, probably for him, but it's a appropriate comic,
yes.
Right?
Yes. And then the covers, oh my God. I was looking through the covers, and I'm like, okay, what can I get for, like, the cover for Steve Megatron to make the cover art for this to have? And the first cover has to be the main cover of the trade, which is him shooting the arrows with the things. And then the other one is him holding the skull. So basically, I think the way, if I told Steve this right, is arrows is on the left, the skull is on the right. So it's kind of like he's shooting arrows at himself, holding the skull. So hopefully that'll be the banner art for this episode of the Pullbag, folks. But yeah, this was so much fun. I wish comic companies would do this, something like this, something similar to this, more often, because that was hilarious.
Something that's just outside the continuity, something that's a little bit fun, a little bit silly, something yep. to remind. Something I think the thing like this is just such a great jumping off point, mm-hmm. because like the place where I saw this on sale most was in the Globe Theatre, right next to where they only show Shakespeare, like Shakespeare's original theatre-ish, sort of, yeah. from the 1600s. So that is a way of like bringing the history and the continuity of it all together, but still showing it with a lot of like fun and irreverence that can bring in all kinds of readers, bringing all kinds of readers from comics into Shakespeare, bring all kinds of like highbrow readers into comics. So this is a great jumping off point for all kinds of people, and it's something that, yeah, it should be done more.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Anything else you want to say about this issue, sir?
I do believe we have shown that we love it, that it's wild and fun bits of chaos that is so true to form for Deadpool, that still has a lot of good respect for Shakespeare. And anyone who loves one will find an appreciation for the other just from reading this. So go grab it from your local comic book stores, kids.
If it's still, is it still available? Would the single issue still, I'm sure back issues, maybe.
The back issues will be around somewhere, but yeah. if you're able to pick out the trade and decipher what's going on in the second half, more power to you.
Well, the trade is weird. Like, again, I'm one of those types of people that I have to start at the beginning. And like I said at the beginning of the podcast, I was not buying six trades just to whatever. So I read through the entire trade, because in the trade, the entire rest of the – like, this is the last thing in the trade. So I'm like, wait a minute. This is not shaking. So I finally got it. I'm like, oh, I just wasted the last 40 minutes of my life. Not that it was a bad, not that volume 7, but it's out of context for me because I didn't read the 6 previous, whatever. Anyway, but much ado about Deadpool. Absolutely love it. And yeah, 5 out of 5, I think.
Oh, definitely. I'd say 4.5 out of 5. I think it needs to like hit me more in my emotional, like literary nerd liver, for it to sort of resonate with me. Stuff like your Watchmen's, your Batman Joker Deadly Duos, stuff like that. That's where like the top marks go. But this is pretty damn close.
Absolutely. All right, folks, we're gonna go to a quick ad break. You're gonna hear some ads and some other stuff. We'll come back to close the show right after this.
What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell sweet.
Hello, geeks and geekettes! Looking for a podcast that covers a vast array of topics? Then check out Altered Geek Unleashed, where we discuss our thoughts on this week's geeky news, tech, gaming, television shows, movies, cartoons, comics, and more. So, get altered, get geeky with the Altered Geeks, every Friday on the Geekcast Radio Network.
Hey, Jared, I have this idea for a new show for the network.
What is it? You know how I liked the 1990s comic book series, The New Warriors?
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Yep.
And you know how at the Long Boss Crusade we're trying to get the YouTube channel going?
Yes. Also correct.
Well, thanks. So, how about you and me do a live stream show about The New Warriors? You've never read the books before, and I have them, and so that's a great setup. We could give it a catchy name, like Come Out to Play. Don't you think that's the greatest idea?
Sure, Delvin. That's a great idea. Just one question.
Yeah?
Why do you have me dangling off this ledge, holding me by only one arm?
Oh, yeah. Well, you'll get it soon, I hope. Come Out to Play, a New Warriors podcast, comes to you live on YouTube every second Tuesday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Long Box Crusade channel. If you can't watch it there, we replay them on the Long Box Crusade Network podcast feed, available anywhere podcasts can be found. We invite you to come along for the ride, or in other words, New Warriors, come out to play, yay!
Hi everyone, I'm here to tell you about the DC Comics News Podcast, here every week to talk everything DC, movies, TV, comics, and everything in between. But don't just take my word for it, here are a couple of our sponsors. Listen to the DC Comics News Podcast, it's audio justice.
No, it's audio chaos, these wackos are crazier than I am.
Well, maybe you're both right. Regardless, you can catch us on every kind of podcast platform. Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and everywhere you find great podcasts. So, can I go now?
Let him go. He did everything you asked.
No.
Hey, welcome to the Last Comic Shop Podcast!
A comic book podcast that actually talks about comics.
Yep, each week we open the shop up and read and discuss a comic.
Sometimes we pair that up with comic book movies or TV shows.
Or not. Lots of times it's just comic books and sound effects.
Oh yes, definitely lots of sound effects.
So tune in on all the major podcasting platforms to the Last Comic Shop Podcast. Or check out our library of evergreen shows at www.lastcomicshoppodcast.com.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music. I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Alas, poor ghost. Speak. I am bound to hear.
All right, folks. We are back inside the pull bag. Adam, what have you got going on? What do you got coming up?
Oh, I have a lot of content to plug, dear listeners. For comic-related goodness, look to my reviews on Dark Knight News and DC Comics News. Both Catwoman and Red Hood the Hill are in excellent spots right now. You can find me talking about Batman-related things on the DC Comics News podcast, namely I Am the Night, where I and my father retro review the Batman the Animated Series from the 1990s. We are getting close to finishing that run, as sad as it will be, but that is not the end of the show, but you can find more about that over on those channels. For my one true love, PC and tabletop gaming, look no further than my pride and joy, fantasticuniverses.com, where you can find my news, reviews, and interviews about all things across the world of gaming, be they PC, console, tabletop, and everything in between. On the Fantastic Universes podcast, you can find me talking about anything in the wider world of gaming. And I suppose this is the first time I can announce this. You can find me dungeon mastering the adventure over on the Mystic Muses podcast, where myself and some very dear friends are going on a high fantasy adventure through the worlds of Dungeons and Dragons.
Very cool, very cool. A pullbag exclusive, folks. There you go. So coming up for us, we've got we're going to head on over to Image Comics, and we're going to continue our massive verse coverage with Radiant Black Volume 4. We will then go to Radiant Pink. We will come back to DC. And I think it's only in 11 years, it's only our second time covering Superman. So my buddy Ryan and I, no, not that one, the other one. we covered Scott Snyder's Superman Unchained because we used to cover Scott's Batman stuff. So I've always been curious to see how he wrote Superman. So that's coming up. After that, Jesse Early and I will be back doing Duke and Cobra Commander number 4 from Skybound. My buddy JT and I did Batman Beyond Neo Gothic, which, that wasn't as good as Neo Year in my personal opinion. Here's a preview for how the episode's going to go, folks. Batman and Magic just, even Batman Beyond and Magic, they just don't mix.
I thought it was quite well handled. I think they were able to get a lot of the wider canon of it sort of going through, but it is a bit of a jump to see like sci-fi tech in with magic, but I'm more of a magic buff than a sci-fi guy these days, so I really liked it. But that's just me.
Yeah, I don't know. I think our biggest problem in the episode, folks, and I'm spoiling this for the audience, the story just didn't... Constantine should not be a Batman Beyond quote-unquote villain. That's just my personal opinion. You could have magic, you could do magic, you could do whatever you want to with it, but it just... I don't know. It's very anticlimactic. And then over the next 4 episodes after that is going to be my buddy Joe Reed and I continuing on with our IDW Publishing TMNT Reborn coverage. We've got volumes 5, 6, 7, and 8. One volume per episode. And then after that, I don't know. The show might be shutting down for a month or so I can start preparing for 90 Nights of Nightwing, which I still cannot. I need 34 more things. And so far, can't find anything in trade because there aren't 34 more trades of Nightwing stuff. So I'll have to do some more research on that. And I think that's going to do it for us. Thank you for joining us here inside the Pullbag. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. Here are all the ways you can listen to us nowadays. Apple and Google Podcasts, leave us reviews, please. Spotify and any other podcasting client you choose to use. Follow us on Twix, because Twitter and X, whatever, I just call it Twix. It's like the candy bar, folks, but it's worse.
That's a good name for
it. Yeah. At Geekcast Radio for the network, at the Pullbag for the show. I am at TFGN Mike. Are you on the old social media thing over there still, or did you abandon it?
No, as much as I would want to, having social media is good to push my content. You can find me on the artist formerly known as Twitter. That's what I like to call it. The artist formerly known as Twitter at IsItTinkerer. You can follow me on its shameless clone at IsItWizard. And follow me on twitch.tv/IsItTinkerer for me playing online collectible card games when my brain can create a reasonable schedule.
There you go. You can check us out on Facebook, Geekcast Radio Network, and the Pullbag, as well as is it just Dark Knight News over on Facebook, or is it both?
On Facebook it's Dark Knight News and DC Comics News. On the artist formerly known as Twitter, it's DK Newscom at DK Newscom.
There you go. Very cool. Like I said, folks, coming up next in episode 550, it's Radiant Black Volume 4, 2-in-1. For now, I am TF2 and Mike with
Adam Ray. Nice to meet you. See you soon.
As always, make your greatest game to comics, and we will catch you next time.
You've just heard the latest episode of The Pullbag, the GCRN's first comic review and discussion podcast. There are several ways to get in touch with us and leave feedback for the show. You can visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can comment on the episode and all of our different podcasts. You can rate and leave a review for the show on iTunes. Be sure to leave us feedback. Become a fan of us on Facebook, facebook.com/thepullbag. Send us an email, feedback@geekcastradio.com. Follow us on Twitter @ThePullBag and @GeekCastRadio. So until next time, make your great escape into comics and unleash the geek in you.
Cartoons. Fah! Degrading occupation.